I want you guys to close your eyes for a second. I want you to vision a world without music. Can you see your life going about your day without music in your daily life? I don't think so. See, music, it plays an important part in people's lives. It's powerful. It's beautiful. It tells a beautiful story. A lot of pain. Happiness. Brings people together. Stimulates the mind. Touches the body, the soul, the heart. See, this is Moody's Point off the Waves World Podcast Network. The show where we highlight and celebrate the love, the art of music. Dawson had a creek. Moody had a point. What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Moody back with another episode of Moody's Point. Dawson had a creek, Moody had a point. Hope everybody's doing well today. I have a special guest on the show. You might not be able to hear him because this man is... He barely says anything. But I would like everybody to give a warm welcome to my son, my 2-year-old son, who happens to have the same birthday as I do. Me and my son both have the same birthday on May 27th, which is literally around the corner. It's Gemini season, people. All my Geminis, stand up. Shout out to all my Geminis out there. I want everybody to give a warm welcome to my son, Rocky. Say roof, roof. Or whatever dogs say. I gonna bark? Okay, it's cool. I told you guys he's silent. He's shy. He's shy when it comes to the to saying something on the mic. But it's cool. Shout out to my homie, my son, Rocky. He's a good boy. Who's a good boy? Yeah. But how's everybody doing tonight? Your boy is in a good mood. Got off early. Got some free time on my hands. I'm not sleepy. So I'm about to bless you guys with some episodes, man. Like, I feel like I can get a couple episodes in. Shit, fuck it, why not? Ain't nothing else to do. You know my show is all about the music, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, sometimes I swerve and talk about other things going on in the world. But tonight's episode, I am taking it back down memory lane. Tonight I'm taking it back down memory lane, you feel me? So you remember... let's take it all the way back to 2014. 2014, compared to what the last few years have been in a COVID-infested world we've been living in. But let's go all the way back to 2014 when life was golden. When what? In my world where I just now get my feet wet into the what? The scenes to be the college life where I'm assuming once I graduated from high school, which was like 2 years ago back in 2012, in 2014, now I'm just trying to figure out what to do with my life. And, like, you got the notion that, oh, okay, college is where it's at, you feel me? We need to put your foot in the door to college to see where it might take you. And this is fresh off of, like, maybe, like, my first full-time job at Cracker Barrel out in Maryville. So I'm just, I've finished it up 2 years of that. And I told them straight up, look, I'm about to go ahead to college. Because I was doing Ivy Tech at the time. I was at Ivy Tech, but I'm like, you know what? I want to go a bigger and better thing. So let me move to, or prepare to move to Indianapolis to go to IPY to start my quote-unquote college experience. Well, I realized the older you get, you can do shit without college. Well, I mean, it'll be nice to have a college degree. But, I mean, if you're not really, if your mind and your heart's not into it, I mean, you can do other things, you feel me? Like, you not should not be pressured to go to college if you don't really need to. Because most of these people go to college just to party. I'm not a party person, so I wasn't really big into partying, but I wasn't really serious into studying, like, literally 24-7. Really locking myself in my dorm room just to make sure my, you know, my studies and my grades were up to par. I was slacking a lot. So then I realized, you know what, I mean... I have the chance to go back to college. I will probably eventually. Maybe in the future, I'll probably go back. I'm almost done with it. But right now, the point of my life now, I don't really, you know, I'm cool. I'm just cool just punching the clock. So, but that was what I was doing back in 2014. But back in 2014, we had a lot of good albums that came out. A lot of great music came back then, was out then. Where, like, you vibing, nice little, you know, for the whole, from far away from winter, all the way from winter, spring, summer, fall, we had certain albums that fit the seasons, you know what I'm saying? And I found this list off of XXL, the XXL Instagram page, where they had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 5. They had 25 albums they picked out of the year 20, that came out of the year 2014. Some of these I can recognize, some of these I don't. So the ones I recognize, I'll tell you guys. And the ones I don't recognize, well, you're just going to have to. So I see on here, we got, I want to say this is maybe Young Thug's album. It's called Slime, Sign Language? No, I don't know what that one is. I can't recognize the first one. Second one I know for a fact, yeah, Run the Jewels 2, I want to say. Was it 2 or 3? I want to say it was 2. Let me fact check. Give me 1 second. Gotta fact check your shit. Give me 1 second. Bear with me, people. Bear with me. Boom. Run the Jewels 2. So Run the Jewels 2 came out, which was a very, very good album. Shit, my homie Justin used to put me on an album. He put me on an album. But I can't really say I got into Run the Jewels. I like Killer Mike. I'm kind of like 50-50 on LP. Part of me likes LP, and part of me, I mean, I could care without him. Well, really kind of reason why I really don't really care for LP, because a long time ago, I had a big heated debate with one of my homies about who was better between LP and Eminem. And like, I got shitted on because I was really debating and I was siding with Eminem. Because I thought, I still to this day think that Eminem is better than LP. Now, LP is a great lyricist because I listened to a few of his songs. Shit, one of my favorite features from him that he did was a song with Mr. Motherfucking Esquire, I think that's his name, Esquire, called Huzzah the Remix. Had Danny Brown. It had That's Racist on it. It had LP, who pretty much probably shined and demolished everybody on that whole track because his verse was God tier. But the reason why I kind of was really 50-50 on LP, because I had a, like I said, I had a heated debate with one of my homies about who was better between him and Eminem. And a lot of people are going to say, like, LP is better than Eminem. And a lot of people going to say Eminem is better than LP. I personally think Eminem is better than LP. And, like, LP's cool. And the Killer Mike is cool, too. I fuck with Killer Mike. But I listened to a few songs from Run the Jewels. Even when they did Run the Jewels 3 and 4. It's like, I can't really say I can get into it and sit through the whole album and be like, yeah, this shit, I got, this is replay value. I just can't say that. I don't know why. I'm not saying they're trash, but for some reason, for my style and how I like to view my music and albums, I would not put Run the Jewels in my repeated album repeat catalog. Sorry. But that was part. I earned one album in 2014. Yeah, they got the Rich Gang album with I think Thug Birdman and Rich Homie Quan. Back when Rich Homie Quan's name was, the name Rich Homie Quan was actually relevant. But when him and Thug, you know, beef, we see who won the, we see who survived and who faded away. Not Young Thug, but now Rich Homie Quan fell off completely off the face of the earth. Now this nigga don't do shit no more. Yeah, Days Before the Rodeo back then, which was a godly album or mixtape, whatever you want to call it. And then I had a lot of great memories with riding around with Days Before the Rodeo in the background. One of my favorite tracks, including Backyard, one of my all-time favorite songs by Travis Scott. Welcome to Phazoland was part of 2014 with G Herbo, or he was called Lil Herb back then, before G Herbo even existed. I feel like G Herbo was more of the the moniker for the mainstream crowd, but and Lil Herb was like that underground nigga with Lil Bibby. That's when Lil Bibby used to rap before he became like what, the road manager for, or the spokesperson for Juice WRLD. That's when Lil Bibby was rapping seriously. He was dope. Faces with Mac Miller, rest in peace to Mac Miller. I feel like Faces, that mixtape, without Faces, the mixtape by Mac Miller, I don't think you would have Swimming and Divine Feminine and Circles, honestly. Because Mac Miller went from Kids and Best Day Ever, that style, and that, you know, that little style he had with them, those albums. And then when Faces came out, I feel like he did a complete, you know, switch up. You see, I'm going to switch my sound up. And Faces was the beginning of the new sound. And without Faces, like I said, you wouldn't have the Divine Feminine. You wouldn't have, you probably would still have, I think it was called what? Loud or AM or some shit like that. Let me look it up. I mean, you was like, because I look at it like this. It's like having two separate careers. Like Brady had three careers. Like Tom Brady had a 2000. Tom Brady had three different careers in three different decades. Like the 2000s, that was more of his
coming out party. 2010, shit there. He dominated 2010 basically. 2020, he's off to a good start.
Man's retiring and not coming back, you know, with another eye on another championship. That's kind of how I view Mac Miller's career, is like from Kids all the way to, from Kids to Blue Slide Park to Macadelic to fucking watching movies with the sound off, all the way up to Good AM and Best Day Ever. You feel me? That was all like, that was, I mean, that Mac Miller compared to like when Faces came out. And Divine Feminine and Swimmings and Circles came out. It's a completely different sound. Like, I feel like the Faces, all of the Circles, Mac Miller is more of a musically collective. Like, it's like he spanned his sound, if that makes any sense, you know? Like, he's doing different things, collaborating with different people to elevate him as an artist. I'm doing this all with Thundercat and fucking Ariana Grande. You know, I have to have all that has to be credited to the Faces mixtape. Because Faces mixtape was hard. The beats was hard. The song structure from the beginning all the way in. Magical. Fucking Schoolboy Q not even having a verse, but just doing the Miller Mac part. On one of the songs. Fucking got some great Earl Sweatshirt verses for features, man. Ross did his thing. Even have fucking Mike Jones on that motherfucker too. You know what I'm saying? So Faces definitely was a big part of 2014. Can't forget about that album. What else we got in there? So for all my ladies out there, Tink did her thing. Tink was out. Tink was popping for a big. Tink was actually popping for a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Especially in high school, that's all the females was basically talking about, riding around to, you know, Tink. Before you had Summer Walker and fucking Erica Banks and fucking Doja Cat and Meg and Cardi and LMA and all the motherfuckers. Tink was the one that everybody was fucking with. Tink and Nicki Minaj, but mostly Tink. Tink's name was, music was definitely bumped heavily back then. I don't know what she's doing now. She kind of faded away, but that album, what was it called? It's called, I can't really see the name on it. But yeah, Tink's album 2014, that was a big part. Let me look it up. It was called Winter's Diary 2. Yeah, that was a big part. What else we had in 2014? Migos, No Label 2. That shit was hard. That shit was slapping. The Waters was slapping hard. Fabulous. You know, he was still doing his thing. Fabulous was low key. Fabulous put out a nice little album in 2014 as well. Then you had Nicki Minaj, Pink Print, J. Cole. Now that's 20. Honestly, to keep it all real, you can throw everything in 2014 away. Because 2014 Forest Hill Drive literally, hands down, carried the whole entire 2014. That whole album right there carried the whole entire 2014. The notion of going, what was it, platinum with no features or whatever? I forgot all them songs he did with no features. That was insane. Literally this whole entire pod can just talk about how J. Cole's 2014 Forest Hill Drive destroyed and dominated literally the whole entire year. That album was, it's a classic. It's a fucking classic. That's all you can say is a classic. You feel me? Still to this day, everything you hear, everything you see, I can't even put into words how much of a classic that album is, but it just speaks for itself. It speaks to itself. 20, 30 years from now, we're going to still be... That's the album I'm going to show my kids that, hey, when I was growing up, this is what daddy and mommy was playing. Well, I don't know my mommy. She was out probably doing thought shit, you know, playing God knows what, but your dad was rolling around bumping Saint Tropez and rolling around bumping Apparently and Get Off My Dick and fucking I ain't never did this before. Yeah, man. That album there. But ironically, because it's basically the point of the whole pod is it gave me 25 albums to pick three. I can only pick three, and the rest has to go away forever. So you got J. Cole's 2014 Forest Hill Drive, Logic Under Pressure, got Gambino's album. I don't know who this other guy is. Got Future Honest on here, Absol. I want to say that's Party Next Door's album. Gucci Mane versus Guap. I don't know why that album's on here, because I forgot all about... I didn't even know that came out. He put so much albums out. It's like, I don't know. Black Hollywood by Wiz. YG, you know, stepped into the game. Pinata by fucking Madlib and Freddie Gibbs is a goddamn classic. That shit still gets replay value to this day. Shit, I still be playing that at work all the fucking time. Hell, I'm going to see Freddie Gibbs on the 26th, the day before my birthday. That's my birthday gift to myself. See my man's Gibbs come to nap. You saying do his thing. Got to. It's only right, bro. Mastermind by Rick Ross. I had the CD. I was playing that in my CD player back then, you feel me? I still have my 2001 Nissan Maxima. I drove that bitch everywhere. Sylvia Demo by Zay Rashad is a goddamn classic. It still gets played to this day. So basically, long story short, bro. I'm going to pick them three albums that I'm going to pick. And I'm going to play my favorite song out of all of them. That's how we're going to do it. So, I could pick a different song, an album that's not on this list. But I'm going to just be fair and pick exactly what's on this list. So if I had to choose three, it's very, very tough because this is very tough. I will probably start off. I definitely got to pick Pinata. That's a no brainer. Pinata definitely got to be there because that album right there. Oh my God, that shit is fucking godly. Madlib is so underrated. I mean, he's not underrated, but like. People want to talk about goddamn. I fuck with Metro. You feel me? I fuck with Southside. TM88? I think that's his name. I feel like I'm butchering this motherfucker's name. But Southside, I know him for a fact. TM88, that's his name? Yeah, TM88. There you go. I got that right. TM88, everybody talks about him. Everybody talks about Mike Will Mayer. Everybody talks about Kenny Beats. You feel me? Alchemist. I mean, Alchemist is Madlib. They're in the same bracket. These motherfuckers are. They made names for themselves. They're not talked about in the public eye, but they hold their own weight. Their name itself speaks. Their name itself speaks throughout the whole entire game of hip hop. You get beats from them, you've made it, or you impress people, or you feel me. But Madlib is his even without him producing, his Quasimodo moniker too. There's nothing that should be slept on as well, but he gave a nigga from Gary a chance to shine with off of his beats. Cause Madlib, he gonna bring you some dope beats, and if he bring you some dope beats, you gonna have to carry your own weight and spit. And Freddie Gibbs did his fucking thing from beginning to end. So I gotta put Pinata in there. I gotta pick. That's one I'm picking. Two more. I probably have to pick Faces by Mac Miller, cause that album there. I am so happy that they finally put that mixtape on fucking streaming sites. I've been waiting forever for them to put Faces on streaming sites. Now I have to download that PIF. You feel me? Just to personally listen to that shit. I can go on Spotify and listen to that motherfucker. So I'm definitely putting Faces in. Now this last one's gonna be hard, because I'm gonna probably have to narrow it down between four albums. I'm gonna choose between Mick Jenkins' Waters. I like the Waters. Forest Hill Drive by J. Cole. Sylvia Demo by Isaiah Rashad. And Under Pressure by Logic. Those four, I'm choosing between those four. All right, got Faces and Pinata. Right, those are my. I chose those two. I'm choosing them two. Okay. Now between them four, I'm gonna do an honorable mention. I can do that. So honorable mention wise, I feel like I'm gonna put Mick Jenkins as the honorable mention, because Mick Jenkins, even before the Waters, I found out about Mick Jenkins from fucking his mixtape called Treason Truth. Treason Truth is dope as fuck. People don't really know about Treason Truth, but you go on YouTube and look up Treason Truth, one of his first projects he put out. That motherfucker there, oh my god. And then the interlude and like the Adam and Eve thing, bro. And oh my god, that. Whew. People don't really give Mick Jenkins his flowers, but Mick Jenkins is definitely one of the hardest rappers in the game, bro. Especially in the underground world. Ain't that right, Rocky? Yeah. He's sleep. He's half asleep, man. This motherfucker didn't do shit all night, all day, but just sleep whenever. I guess that's just a dog for you. That's just a dog. But yeah, Mick Jenkins, he eats. Mick Jenkins eats on the mic, definitely. If you motherfuckers don't know about Mick Jenkins, definitely check out his work. From fucking Treason Truth to The Waters to Pieces of a Kid. I think it's what it's called. Yeah, Pieces of a Kid. I think it's called. And he got another album that came out too called The Elephant in the Room. But it was kind of low key with it. And Waves. I think Waves is another album that came out too by Mick Jenkins. He got some nice projects you guys gotta fuck with. That's your homework for today, kiddies. Go fuck with Mick Jenkins. So I'm definitely gonna put The Waters as my honorable mention. I had to choose between. So I'm gonna pick one album. My third and final album of 2014, I'm gonna pick, and the rest have to go. Between Sylvia Demo, Forest Hill Drive, and Under Pressure. This is tough, but I'm gonna probably have to choose the Sylvia Demo by Isaiah Rashad. That album there, bro, I'm like, that's Isaiah Rashad. Is TDE got a great lineup. TDE has Abso, TDE has J-Rock, TDE has SZA, TDE has fucking Kendrick, obviously, Schoolboy Q. It also has, I think I said J-Rock. Yeah, J-Rock, Abso, Schoolboy Q, Kendrick, SZA, Reason now. Reason's on that motherfucker. It's somebody else too. I forgot his name. I hear his song all the time, though. It'll cut to me, bro, but. And Isaiah Rashad is also on there. A lot of heavy hitters. But Isaiah Rashad is probably one of the most underrated motherfuckers off that whole label. Because he knows how to put together a project from fucking Sylvia Demo to The Sun's Tirade, even to The House is Burning, that was one of the best albums of 2021 the whole time. Nobody wants to say it, but it was one of the best albums of 2021. And regardless of what he does in his personal life, outside of music, fuck what goes on outside of music. I judge a person based off of what goes on. What I judge a person off. I care more about what he brings to the table as a musical artist. Fuck his personal life and fuck what he does outside of the music. You feel me? And that's what we should base the people on. I don't care what they do. R. Kelly, that's different. That's fucking different. But when it comes to different, when shit is not extreme, what R. Kelly be doing, like, yeah, besides the shit that R. Kelly did, if it's not extreme like that, I don't care what type of sexuality, what the fuck they got going on. The music, all I care about is the music. I care about the artist. You feel me? And what Sylvia Demo, Isaiah Rashad put together in that project was just magic. Nothing but magic. So basically, I'm going to play my favorite songs from Pinata, Sylvia Demo, and Faces. And I'm going to start off with Pinata because that's one of my favorite albums. And Freddie Gibbs is one of my favorite hip-hop artists. He is my favorite hip-hop artist. He used to be ASAP Rocky, but he's been bullshitting lately, the past few years, man. I feel like ever since he got put in jail, and that Sweden jail, he hasn't been the same. Now he's out here getting Rihanna pregnant. He ain't on his classic acid rap shit, cloud rap shit no more. He ain't on his live, love ASAP shit. Now he's trying to fucking be like Playboi Carti with these triplets and all this other bullshit. I still listen to his project, but I used to be a big ASAP Rocky fan. He's barely in my top 10 now. I can't really fuck what he's doing no more. And he's more into fashion. He cares more about the fashion. Like the mob, ASAP Mob ain't the same as the ASAP Mob how it used to be. And this is even before, even regardless of what happened, regardless of that, they on different wavelengths. Once ASAP Ferg got big, he's doing different shit now. He ain't the same ASAP Ferg I liked. He ain't the old Trap Lord. The Trap Lord, I don't even know where the Trap Lord is anymore. He ain't ASAP Ferg the Trap Lord no more. All these niggas care more about his fashion. But I'm going to play you one of my favorite songs by Freddie Gibbs off this album. And also, sorry about that, guys. Also, one of my favorite Freddie Gibbs albums besides Pinata and Bandana. Bandana's cool. But one of his most slept on albums, in my opinion, is Shadow of a Doubt. Shadow of a Doubt is a... Whew. And I think this came out the same year as Pinata, too. No, it came out a year after Pinata. But if you guys haven't heard Shadow of a Doubt, listen to that album, too. Which I damn near probably listen to Shadow of a Doubt after I get done with this podcast. Because that album cold as fuck. Fucking Up the Count is probably hands down my favorite song off there. But my favorite song off of Pinata, I've talked about it plenty of times. One of my top 5 favorite songs that I like to play a lot when I go about my day. Shit, you should already know. If you don't know, you about to find out.
Somebody warned the West. Nigga ain't running. Somebody nigga ain't running no more. The legend of nigga in color. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
You ain't never lied. Fuck the rap shit, my gangster been solidified. Still do my business on the side. Bitch, if you police didn't pay me, no, never mind. I was thug, black and red laces in my...
Like, the fuck, the chill, laid-back beat of Madlib combined with the thug, gangster, fucking aggressive tone and the flow that Freddie is spinning, bro. I play this song every day, bro. Like, if I still have my whip, I would be playing this bitch rolling up, pulling up the gigs, pulling up the clubs, whatnot, you name it. It gives me confidence to go out there and do my shit, bro. And then the way he ends the track too, towards the end.
turned down, so will they shit to turn the trick for it. My uncle last bitch put him on the glass dick. Tried to rob a man to feed his habit, he got blasted. I live on borrowed time, my expiration date, I passed this.
Lock me up because the other shit is everlasting, I'm thugging. Hey, it feels so good. Hey, it feels so right. Hey, it feels so good. Hey, it feels so right. That motherfucker, I'm thugging, bitch.
Bro, like that. Yeah, it's self-explanatory, bro. That's one of my favorite songs, hands down. Also, bro, I like a few other. Like most of the songs off the album, I fuck with hard though, bro. Like he got the song with Scarface called Broken. That's one of my favorite ones. He has the fucking collab with Domo Genesis and Earl Sweatshirt. He ate on that one. The song he did with Abso, he ate on that as well. He ate on a lot of these features. Danny Brown ate off this on his feature. BJ the Chicago Kid did his things. Yeah. One of my favorites. Then he did a whole goddamn fucking G. I love this album. But yeah, I gotta keep Pinata in there. Off the Silvio demo with Isaiah Rashad. It's a lot of good bangers I like on this album as well. But I think one of my favorite songs is Modest, hand him down. Cause what'd he say? What'd he say?
Niggas tryna tell you what you want. Niggas really be what you need. Bitch, I came here right here with the bounce. And if that ain't enough, I got some weed. Cause niggas tryna tell you what you want. Niggas really give you what you need. Bitch, I came here right here with the bounce. And if that ain't enough, I got some weed. That whole fucking song, bang in the whip, bro. It is a bouncy. I fuck with that song. It's one of my favorites. One of my favorites. Because me and my homie Justin, bro, we used to fuck around and play this song in his whip all the time. He used to hotbox to this album. He used to play the shit up. He used to play the fucking shit over this. He used to play this album literally every fucking day. Every day. He told me to come pull up the fucking smoke. This was the song we used to smoke to, bro. Every fucking day. And I was like, damn, we listen to shit again? But, like, the more you listen to it, it's like, well, shit, I can't argue with it because it's a fucking nice song to smoke to. It's a very fast project. Very chill project. Probably one of the most underrated projects of 2014. Because, like, nobody really fucked with it until later on in the years. And that's when motherfuckers were like, okay, Isaiah Rashad can spit. You got to think about it. During 2014, I think this is coming, I want to say, maybe around the same year that, The Pimp a Butterfly came out, if I'm not mistaken. I want to say it came out the same year. If not, it probably came out a year later. It came out a year before The Pimp a Butterfly. But still, Kendrick was riding a wave off of fucking Good Kid, Mad City, you know? So, like, nobody really was paying attention to him. And I think Schoolboy Q just dropped fucking, Oxymoron, I want to say. I want to say Oxymoron came out that year. Yeah, he put, like, Schoolboy Q came out with Oxymoron. So, like, you know, everybody was fucking with him and Abso and J-Rock. Those were the heavy hitters. Isaiah Rashad was just trying to be like, yeah, I can spit. I can hold my own, too. And when you listen to Sylvia Demo, you see why. And now, still to this day, Sylvia Demo is one of his critically acclaimed best albums, in my opinion. You feel me? So... yeah, I was one of my favorite joints off of Sylvia Demo. So we had Thuggin off of Bandana, I gotta keep in 2014. And then Sylvia Demo, I gotta keep that as well, because Modest is one of my favorite songs. Last but not least, Faces by Mac, R&P to the Mac Man. And there's a lot of bangers I lock off of Faces, a lot of good songs. But I think... one of my all-time favorite songs off of this album is
I like New Faces with Earl Sweatshirt and Dash. But I think what's fitting for this song, for his album and the career and the life of Mac Miller, is Grand Finale.
Odyssey of dark roads. God lives in my dog's soul. The devil in his dog bowl. We are the prophets. Jesus was a poor sporty Buddha Nostradamus. Turn water into wine,
but he loved the gin and tonic. Cast skeletons in his closet. I'm so happy that they finally put this on streaming sites where I can actually go. And Angel Dust is one of my favorite tracks too. I liked Angel Dust too. I liked Angel Dust as well. Angel Dust, Polo Jeans, Malibu, Friends with Schoolboy, Miller Mac. That shit was hard. Uber with Mike Jones. Mike Jones did his thing on that shit. Vince Staples was on this bitch, bro. Rick Ross did his thing. This whole project was hard, bro.
And recently I've been feeling.
But yeah, that was that's so basically XXL wanted you to choose three albums from 2014, and then everything else has to go. I chose Pinata, I chose the Sylvia demo by Zay Rashad, and I'm gonna choose Faces. And my honorable mention is Mick Jenkins. You feel me? I gotta throw a Mick Jenkins song in there off The Waters, because The Waters is one of my favorite albums too. I think this is probably the same album we got that collab he did with yes, the song he did with Joey Badass. Put your motherfucking hands in the air and wave it like you just don't care. I'ma fall in love with my motherfucking people.
Enjoy
better seat on this fucking song too. But they had a lot of great. They had a lot of great songs on here. So I that's why I had to at least put it like my keep it as my honorable mention. He had Comfortable with No Name on here, The Waters, fucking 514. 514 is one of my favorite songs. Vibe, the beat switch on Vibe was hard, bro. Like music back in 2014 was just nice. It was nice. It was a great. It was a great year for music. One of the great years for music. It was a very fun year for albums that came out that year. But that's pretty much the episode. If I have to end the episode, I feel like the only right song to end this episode right is to close it out with the finale with the Mac Man, R.P. Mac Miller. You feel me? Like I said, this was episode 33, I want to say. Thank you guys for tuning in. I got a lot of time on my hands tonight, so I'm going to probably shoot maybe one or two more before I hit the bed. You feel me? My dog passed out on me. So much for being a special guest. Fuck you too, Rocky. But it's cool. I understand. You got to get your rest. Shit, fuck it. So, yeah, we going to end the night and the end of the episode. The Grand Finale by Mac Miller. It's been Moody's Point. Moody out.
Just fine.